This is Dial-A-Saint introducing St. John Neumann. America in the year 1811 had begun to expand westward. Most Europeans thought it was little more than a wilderness inhabited by fierce Indians. But this new land, enlarged only in 1803 by the Louisiana Purchase, would be soon offering work on canals and railroads to the thousands of immigrants and German-speaking people uprooted by wars and famine. The Neumann family had moved from Germany in 1802 and settled in the old town of Prachetice in what is now Czechoslovakia, where the father made knit stockings. John, the third of six children, could often be found in his father's shop watching the knitters, or with his brothers and sisters as they helped their mother on her baking day, as she gave away bread to the needy who came to ask. The town's activities centered around the church, and the Neumann family often began their day with Mass. John developed a liking for books and regularly woke up at 5 each morning to read. He explained this habit to his mother by saying, "I have so much reading to do, and I may not finish it all, since I don't know when I will die." His reading helped him in school, and he graduated from college with honors. But at age 20, he still had not decided upon his future. One day, as he voiced his doubts out loud, his mother suggested, "Why don't you become a priest?" He replied that the seminary already had 80 applicants for only 20 openings. Besides, he didn't know any influential person whom he could ask for a recommendation. His mother said, "Our good Lord will speak for you if he wants you to be his priest. Your job is to pass the entrance exam." John did take the exam, passed, and was accepted. His mother was not surprised. Seminary life exposed him to the idea of missionary work in the wilds of America. Already he had studied Hebrew, Latin, German, French, and Italian. Now he must learn English. There was no English course taught, but he did find some English-speaking factory workers and offered to help them if they in turn would teach him to speak the language. In his final exams, he reached the highest possible marks, but to his disappointment, his ordination was delayed. Some of his superiors felt they were losing too good a man if he went to America as a missionary. Finally, impatient to start his work, he told them that he would leave without being ordained. Assured that they would ride ahead to tell of his exam grades, he set out for America. The journey lasted 40 days. He landed in New York with $1 in his pocket and began a 5-hour search for a church. The bishop was pleased to have John and ordained him after 3 weeks. Then he was assigned to Upper New York, where there were 31 Irish and 4 German priests ministering to 200,000 church members. His first parish had a stone church with a dirt floor, but there was no money for a roof or windows. He visited the school one day and found the teacher drunk and harshly punishing a child. The new priest told him, "Take your hat, go home, and do not return." Now he was teacher of the school as well. His $300 yearly salary was never given to him, to which he said, "If you want to be a missionary, you must love poverty." He slept on his cabin's dirt floor, and because of his busy life, often skipped his meals. He worked very hard, but not all of his parishioners were sympathetic. Once a man insulted him, and John turned to walk away. The man drew a gun and shouted that if John didn't answer him, he would be shot dead. John continued to walk away. But then the man threw his gun down in disgust, saying that he wouldn't shoot anyone in the back. John had won. In his travels, he walked from one family's cabin to the next through forests and swamps, using the time to pray. Once when he became sick, he sat down under a tree to rest and soon fell asleep. He suddenly awoke to find himself surrounded by an Indian raiding party, one of whom had his tomahawk raised to strike. When John made the sign of the cross to say a last prayer, the chief said to his companion, "Don't touch the black robe." The Indians carried him to a farmhouse where he was given attention. Rather than work on his own, he decided to join a small religious community of 6 priests named the Redemptorists. Because there were so few, He was transferred to many areas where he was needed, such as Philadelphia, Baltimore, New York City, Norwalk, Ohio, and then to a parish deeply in debt. He slept and ate little all the time, working for his parishioners' spiritual health. He started 3 schools and encouraged the collection of 5 cents a week from each family, so all could share in the church's construction. In this way, the debt was paid off, but his health failed and he was transferred back to Baltimore. Here he was appointed to be vice provincial of the order. He encouraged several orders of missionary teaching sisters to teach in the Baltimore schools under him. John expected the other priests under him to live up to the rules of the order, but some opposed him and created such an uproar that his job was given to another. When he left his post, there were 30 more priests and 10 religious houses. His success in working with the German immigrants led him to be nominated as the bishop in Philadelphia. He was sure he was not capable and begged his superior in Rome to change the Pope's mind. He even asked each of the teaching sisters to pray to God that a great disaster should not come upon the church in America. He said, "I would rather die tomorrow than be consecrated bishop." But approval came quickly, and John had to give in to the Pope's wishes. His new responsibilities were to care for a diocese covering 35,000 square miles. To ensure quality education, he set up a school board to provide educational standards for all the parish schools. By doing this, he established the first Catholic school system in America, which started with 600 pupils and in 3 years grew to 9,000 students. He studied Gaelic so he could hear the confessions of the Irish immigrants, and was always open to meet with people. He introduced the 40 hours devotion of the Blessed Sacrament. In his 8 years as bishop, he helped to open more than 50 churches. In January 1860, he collapsed while walking in the town. He died on the same day at the age of 48. John Neumann was declared to be a saint in 1979. He led an extremely holy and active life. Yet he chose to avoid praise and flattery. He was given no special divine favors such as visions or prophecy, but he did ordinary daily tasks extraordinarily well. Now we have a model for ourselves. We must take advantage of every moment and use it to the fullest, which means it is to be offered for the honor and glory of God.